and a friend in college who spent the first year and a half of her life in an orphanage. She was an orphan in an orphanage for a year and a half, and she was adopted by incredibly loving parents, wonderful family. But as she got older, she longed to know, when she had found out she was adopted, as she got older, it grew more and more. She longed to know where she came from, who her parents were. And it just kept growing and growing within her. And beginning at the age of 20, she started searching out her parents, searching out her birth parents. She spent 3 full years before finally she had found her birth mom. Her birth mom had no clue where the birth father was, though, and so she spent 2 more years after that searching before she found him, and she was able to meet both of them. And she met them and grew little by little in relationship with them. But I remember when she was in the middle, because think about 3, 5 years searching for her birth parents. When she was in the middle of this, about 1.5, 2 years in, we would argue sometimes. I said, "You have a great life. Your adopted family, they love you. You're not angry or bitter. What if you meet your birth parents and you hate one of them?" It's true. Like, what if it throws your life into this tailspin? But she was persistent. And she had said that something along the lines of, "Who I am is so tied up with who they are. Even if I don't know who they are, who I am, my life, my identity, is tied up so much in who my birth parents are." And this is what drove her to seek them out, to find them, and then to come to know them. Because in doing that, and she said years afterward that she came to know so much more about herself. Christmas season, which we're at the very last days of now, we close the Christmas season with this feast of Jesus' baptism. But it's marked by Christmas, Epiphany, and then the baptism. Christmas, in which God reveals, he unveils in the Christ child who he is. Who he is God with us, Emmanuel. That God now has a face, he has a name, and Jesus' whole life is revealing to us the Father. Then Epiphany last week, this opening up of salvation and understanding that Jesus came to save all, that his mission was to come and to save all of humanity, and that you and I have an essential role in this, that we share this mission with Jesus. How do we do that, though? How do we do that? It's through baptism. That Jesus comes to John in the River Jordan today, and he comes to be baptized not because he needed it, like Jesus somehow had sin that needed to be washed away. No, he came into the waters of baptism so that he could make those waters holy, so that when we enter into it, we might receive his life. That through the waters of baptism, when that water hits your head, and you were probably crying too when that water hits your head. I have a 50-50 rate when I have baptisms back in that font, and you can never tell which babies are going to cry or not. It's impossible, because sometimes they're fussy before, and then when the water hits their head, it's like they become this perfect little angel. Other ones are smiling and they're glowing. And then you bring them to the baptism font, and right when the water hits their head, it must be the sin coming out, because they just burst out crying. And so you never know
You never know. I have a 50-50 rate, I think. But listen, when that water hits your head, when you were baptized, and I bet about half of you were screaming too. I never found out if I was crying when I was baptized. I bet I wasn't, though. I mean, come on. But when that water hit your head, you were transformed. You were recreated. You became in that moment a beloved daughter, a beloved son of God the Father. You became a member of the church, the body of Christ. You share now in this mission of salvation of Jesus. That when we were created and we fell into sin, we disowned God. We became, you remember, like the other son, the younger son in the parable of the prodigal son. I guess it's just his name is the prodigal son. You remember, right? He told his father he wanted his inheritance and he went off. He was telling him, I wish you were dead. We went off, we disowned God. But in baptism, he adopted us. And we became in reality his sons and his daughters. And our Christian life is now living this, living that reality. But you know, so much of our lives, and this becomes the tragedy sometimes, so much of our lives we wander through life with this orphan spirit. With this orphan spirit. With this deep, deep sense of being alone, not truly belonging to someone, to something. That deep question of who really am I? And what ends up happening is we wander through life with this orphan spirit is we start to seek our identity not in who we are, but we really truly start seeking it and thinking, really thinking that we're going to find it in what we do. We may know better. When somebody says, where's your identity found in who you are or what you do? Oh, I know the answer. It's in who I am. We know that. We've learned that maybe, hopefully. But we live in a completely different way. We live in a way in which we really think that we can find our identity and come to know who we are, maybe through our work and our career. How esteemed we are, how respected I am, the wealth that I have. When we're younger, we have other things too. We find our identity maybe in the sports that we play, and how smart I am, how popular I am, the friends I have. We do all that stuff as we get older as well. But the problem is, in anything in which you find your identity in what you do, that can be taken away in a split second. Gone. But this orphan spirit, it's been at the heart of the rise of identity politics as well. Where I know, right, I know up here that I need to place my hope and I need to place my identity in God. In Jesus Christ. I know that, but I live in a completely different way. Where when I look at politics, in reality, I place my hope and I even place my identity in different political movements. But when that's shattered, as it always is, I'm left disillusioned. Even enraged, or just worried and afraid. Why am I worried and afraid? Because there's a sense, this deep existential sense of being alone, of being orphaned. that God's not really in control. This orphan spirit, I can place it in what I do, both good, even the good things I do, but also the bad. Where I can really begin to believe that the sin that I struggle with, the sin that I struggle with continually, that it becomes a part of who I am. But you are not your sin. Your sin does not define who you are. But what defines who you are to your very core is your encounter with God's mercy. And the first encounter you had with God's mercy, with God Himself, was when that water hit your head in the fountain of baptism. And that shapes something that can never be taken away. Your identity is a son, a daughter of God. That you're no longer orphans. You're no longer orphans. Jesus was baptized, and then, when he revealed his identity, his father had revealed his identity, that's when he went out and he battled Satan in the desert. That's when he went out and began his ministry. It came out of that core first. Where do you place your identity, though? Where is it placed? Because to place it in God the Father and knowing who He is and how that reveals so much about who you are, that becomes the well of every source of joy. That becomes the source of all peace, even in the midst of everything going on as a storm around you. That becomes the source of everything. It's all in baptism. It's where it all begins and where it's all leading back to. You as a son, as a daughter of God.